go.
Okay, hello. Hello, hello, everybody. Let's open in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for the people that are gathered here. And thank you that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can make effectual change in our lives, Father. And so there's always hope, no matter how bleak things get. So just lead it, God, and direct us now. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I wrote a little poem. May I share it?
Sure. Yes.
May I? I am an angry man, you see. So I'm here to teach you how not to be. Anger, that is, getting all head up, excited and such. Offending, abusing, getting persons all roughed up. Peace, be still. Allow the Holy Spirit to ease the anxieties. Do not fear, just abide, be still and know. Notice those are scriptures. It struck me, that they say, just stop it. Why don't you just stop it? I can't. I'm like the Romans 7 thing. I do not understand my own actions. For the things I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I don't want to do are the things that I find myself doing. And only the Holy Spirit working inside of us can ease those anxieties. Be anxious for nothing but in
everything.
Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, of course, be angry, but sin not. Righteous anger, that's the undercurrent of this whole class. So being angry about the right things and not about personal petty little grievances. Oh, I got one more. We may have a great zeal in God's service and may be used to influence many for good. And yet, when weighed in the balance of love, be found sadly wanting in the heat of controversy or under unjust criticism, haste of temper, slowness to forgive and forget, quick words and sharp. But that speaks to you guys, but it sure speaks to me. Judgment often reveals an easily wounded sensitiveness. How do you say that? Sensitiveness?
Sensitiveness.
Thank you. Which proves how little the Spirit of Lord Jesus has full possession or real mastery of your life. You know, he had a little 1%, and there's that other 99% available, where the Word says we can do above and beyond what we think or expect. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation provide
a way of escape.
Sometimes you got to jump through the window or go out the side door, and he will provide a way. And he's not going to give you more than you can bear. And I always like to want a man born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. We got all these women in here. We were born of you.
It's the only way you're going to be born.
Okay. We're going to start over. Chapter 4 in your book. Everybody have a book? There's books back there if you want to get a book.
What page is it?
36. And we covered this last time, but I'm a big believer in going over things again and again until maybe you can get it right. Okay, what is anger? And I can pose that question real quick. You might have got a quick answer for that. What is anger?
Most of the time it's sin. It's not righteous anger, but sometimes it might be.
Okay, that's good.
Well, we see something that's not right and we want to react.
Okay, that's kind of what it says in the book there. The simple question quickly becomes complex, as we saw in the previous chapter. The anger we experience usually appears mixed up. In the most typical case, you see something wrong or bad happening. When a supposed friend betrays you, that's wrong, not right. When construction shuts down the highway and you miss an important appointment, that's bad and not good. We have to kind of distinguish between wrong and right and bad and good, because it's kind of a different, the bad and good should not be so personalized. You get angry when you experience what happened as a moral offense or an unpleasant frustration. So far, so good. In theory, your anger could be clean and constructive, yet most often our anger comes out grubby and destructive. In complaining, throwing tantrums, displaying coldness, trying to get even, and feeling self-pity. Anybody on that one? Go through that? Okay. Self-pity. I'll share with you guys. Okay, they're typical ways, these are typical ways all of us return evil for evil. Okay, you did that, I'm going to do this. Oh, what's this? I can beat that. And that's a natural propensity of the sin in our lives to do those things. Hello. Glad you're here. A natural response for sure, but one that God identifies as an exact wrong response. Romans 17 through 21. Let's go ahead and look at that again. Okay. Maybe you want to read that? You're kind of my unofficial reader there.
I'm sorry, Romans 12 what?
17 through 21.
Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil.
Okay, so that sums it up pretty good there, and that's just what I said about, well, you got me, I'm going to get you back. Don't recompense evil for evil. And if somebody calls me on a behavior, does that automatically mean I need to call them on a behavior? Is that a natural tendency? Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, you do this, well, you do that. Well, what you do is worse than what I do. Well, I don't think so. And also, a person's perception is their reality. You hear me say that a lot, whether I agree with it or not. Well, that's what I believe, that's the way I am, and I'm not changing. And we can change. God can smooth off those rough edges. Okay, the question is also complex because each of us brings a certain set of associations with us into each angry moment. And those are based on our own personal experiences. Particular memories, good and bad expressions, people who hurt us or influenced us, the turmoil of emotions that create a context that may be far more persuasive than any textbook definition of anger. Your instinctive, personalized definition may or may not be helpful in getting to the bottom of what anger is. Now that's interesting. Instinctive, that could be part of that sin nature, you know, that instinctive. personalized definition of, well, this is what I think anger is. And somebody might be labeling me angry, but I don't think I'm angry. And also, we talked about no anger is not a good thing either. So there's a balance there. You know, some people are just like flatline. They don't really show any emotion in any given situation. Consider this analogy. Say the word father, and one woman thinks of a man who is gentle, strong, generous, protective, and reliable. She feels trust and pleasure at the thought. Another woman thinks of a man, we went through this last week, her trust and pleasure are infused with grief. A third woman sees a father as a vicious drunk. A fourth woman thinks of a harmful man who died 20 years ago. Dark feelings are still present, but muted and colored with a sense of regret, of emptiness, even of thankfulness that her life was not destroyed. That's a pretty heavy little statement right there. Deep feelings are still present, but muted and colored with a sense of regret. Continuing on, it's important to get your starting point out of the table. Only then can you start to think more widely and deeply. So that's a matter of just identifying exactly what the problem is. I'm reading this book about layers. We operate in layers. When we're in public or in certain situations, we don't really go below a certain layer as far as self-disclosure and sharing things that are going on in our lives. That's what I'm dealing with. Okay, where did I stop? Well, get your starting point on the table where you can start thinking more widely and deeply. It's no different with anger. What image or experience comes to mind when you hear the words, he's angry, or she's angry, or I'm angry? What do you picture taking place? So what does that conjure up for you guys when you think about somebody that's angry?
Well, it depends on the person if you know them. Some okay. people hide their anger, but you can just kind of tell they're angry. And then some people explode, and that kind of puts
you. So you know for sure this person's angry.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they take out their anger on something else than the source of the anger. So it's hard to discern, you know, are you angry at me? Are you angry at the news? Are you angry at your spouse? Because they're yeah. kicking the dog.
Yeah.
And they're punching a tree or something, but it's hard for us to say, I'm angry at this.
Okay. A lot of times, there's an underlying cause of our anger, not some petty little disturbance that happened to get on my nerves, but why? And with me, I keep stacking and stacking and stacking, and all of a sudden, that's it, over just a minor thing. You think of a hostile exchange between two people. A particular person's facial expression, hostile words, violence, and overwhelming burning inside, the way that you react fearfully to an angry person, an angry crowd of protesters, a lot of angry crowds of protesters out there right now, think about where does all that anger come from. What is your association? Here are six common wavelengths within the spectrum of bad anger. Perhaps one of these is what first captures your attention. Let's go ahead and read through this. Somebody read about irritability, please.
I will.
Okay.
Irritability is anger on a hair trigger. Do you live or work alongside someone who is easily set off? Are you cranky, grouchy, and testy? The English language contains such wonderful words for this.
Yikes, that could be me. I'm still investigating that. Okay, arguing. Somebody get that.
Arguing is a disagreeable, he said, she said, of interpersonal friction. Anger is the emotion that inhabits interpersonal conflict, and it takes two for a fight. Is quarreling your first association.
Yeah, so it takes two people for a fight. What if the person, I think we went over this last week, says, oh, you know what, I'm not going to engage in this. You need to just go away and leave me alone. And then they talk about following each other from room to room, demanding discussion, blocking doorways. Yikes, that's bad news. So we need to respect a person's boundaries. And then we teach a secular anger management class, and one of the main components is retreat and think things over. You know what? I'm really losing here. I'm afraid I'm going to say something I regret. I need a little time out so I can have time to think about this. And when I come back, then we can talk about it. And what does the person say? You're not going anywhere. We're going to settle this right now. And what's going to happen is it's just going to escalate and get worse and worse. So if you can allow that person to take that time out, now I promise I'll be back and then we'll talk about it. Well, how long should that time out be? Just to throw a finger out there.
As long as they need.
Pardon me?
As long as they need.
I mean, a half hour? An hour? And it's important what you do during your time out. You know?
Well, also, it's dependent upon the relationship and the situation.
Yeah.
Really. Because with a family member, and you've got time, right? But if it's a work associate, you might not have all the time.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't probably work too good on a job to tell your boss you need a time to retreat. So, you think, well, you can retreat, but you don't really need to come back. Okay. Somebody read bitterness.
I will. Bitterness expresses how anger can last a long, long time. People recycle old hurts and nurse grievances and grudges. They never get over it.
Okay. I think there's a little bit of all of us in all of this. Recycle old hurts, bringing up stuff that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. Is that still relevant information? I guess it seems like it at the time. And that goes back to, well, you did this and you did that. And they never get over it. That's one of mine. Get over it. Come on, let's get on with it. And, well, I'm just not there yet. So do you women need time to get there?
I'm out of here.
Let's get real here, aren't you?
I think it really has to do with how much are you willing to forgive? I mean, these days it's like, are you willing to forgive somebody who doesn't even ask for forgiveness? And
I'm sorry, who doesn't ask for forgiveness?
Who does not ask
for
forgiveness.
That's a really good point.
And there are unaddressed, unresolved things in the past. And are you willing to give that to God and let it go? Or are you always going to be bringing it forward into the present?
All right. Okay, that's a good point. All the same old issues keep coming up again and again and again. Okay. So does God do that with us?
Do you think you don't
get
over it? They choose not to?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry, say that again. Do they choose not to get, they don't want to get over it. Maybe they like being angry or like being mad at that person.
There's an old controversy on, it's called, you can feel bad if it makes you feel better. That kind of rolls into what we just said. Misery loves company. I'm not ready to get over this. I'm gonna. You ever like, you know what? I'm gonna nurse this grudge. I'm gonna stay with it. I'm gonna build on it, which is totally simple.
It hurts.
Good for you.
It just hurts too much.
It does.
I don't think that sometimes it's purposeful. Like, I don't think that. Like, if I feel angry about something and I have bitterness and I hold on to it, it's not like I'm telling myself, I'm just going to hold on to it. It just happens.
Could it be a subconscious thing?
Sure.
I'm looking at all these.
I mean, you know.
Well, I think it ties into.
It's not, I don't enjoy feeling that way.
No, but I think it ties into having a hard time forgiving. Because when you have a hard time, when you struggle with forgiving, then you hold on to it.
Especially when issues keep recurring again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's what bitterness is also, though, but I, from my personal experience, you can sit in that bitterness, and I could choose to be bitter, but I also has to be a posture of the heart. Like, God can be telling you, let go of this, and you still choose to do that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's going to be something you and sit with God and ask God to help, because if you don't, then you can sit in that bitterness for a long time.
That's great. You gotta choose. I think you choose to be angry. You choose to hang on to that food. God is a very present help in the midst of trouble. If you're, that's trouble. Okay, stop. Let's pray. Are you kidding me? You know, that's kind of the attitude. But someone taught me, a very wise man, I think his name is Pastor Joel, taught me that, no, let's stop. Take a deep breath. Wait a few minutes, and we'll pray. And I think God wants us to do that, because if you don't, it just keeps spinning. And what's that thing about don't let the sun go down in your anger? And my whole thing, and I'm really still working, you know what, that's it, I'm out of here. Boom. Off I go. This is hypothetical, by the way. This is not necessarily me. And the person is left standing there, feeling abandoned, feeling hurt, views, you know, could we somehow talk about this in a decently and orderly way? And I think prayer, because God can really restore that instantly. And some people are, you know what, it's going to take me a while to get over this. How long is a while? Well, I don't know, a while. And some people need more time. A while, how long is a while? Somebody tell me.
Well, you brought up the verse, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Well, that's
good.
It's
like, it's such a simple verse where God condescends and gives us a simple instruction.
Okay.
And I think that if we would embrace things like that, we would realize that he's really dealing with us on our own level of limited control, self-control.
Okay.
So if we think about that, well, you know, while we're getting ready to go to sleep and look at the day and say, am I still angry about something? You know, we would be training ourselves to keeping the relationships going.
Well, you know, that's a good answer to that question. How long is a while? Well, how about till bedtime?
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Well, and I think it shows how God condescends to us in time to help us. I mean, the instruction is he's brought it down to our level.
God, who is out of time, condescends into time to help us deal with our situation.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, we may go to bed angry and wake up dead.
Well, what about, we're never going to
get a chance to
do that. Wow, that went dark.
not settle things before we die.
We may go to bed angry and what?
We die. Wake up dead.
We wouldn't wake up. We'd just be dead.
I know what you're saying.
No, but that's exactly right. We don't know what the day is going to bring forth.
That's right. And so he makes things, in a sense, simple. Even though your relationships aren't simple, he gives us instructions that are simple.
If we can't forgive others, does that affect God forgiving us?
Yes.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear my prayers. Oh, Lord, blah, 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 Pastor, you got something going on. We need to deal with this first to come back. Something about take care of your business before you come to the altar. Yes, sir.
The older we get, I'm speaking for myself, the more things we forget and the less our brain works in terms of sharp memory. But I think sometimes that's the Lord's mercy, that he allows us to forget some of the hurts of the past. And maybe that's a direction I can pray and say, Lord, just help me forget that. I've forgotten so many other thousands of things that I'd kind of like to know, but help me forget that.
Let it go.
Remove the emotional sting from the memory. You ever have some stuff here that's happened and you just like, all of a sudden it comes in your mind, you're like, and it just really brings you down and you start reveling in that. God can take away, can take that away. Yeah, okay, good stuff. Okay. Violence? Is that where we were?
Yeah.
Yes.
Expresses the sheer destructiveness of angry behavior. Anger attacks, hurts, destroys, and even kills, finding pleasure in inflicting pain. And that's the way downside of it. You know, I worked in state prisons for a few years, and there's a lot of examples of that there. So, okay, somebody read passive anger.
Passive anger hides behind surface appearances and even beneath conscious awareness. As long as it remains undetectable by the person who is angry, it cannot be addressed. But it is not without its side effects. Depression, lethargy, and pessimism can all stem from a passive anger toward others.
Ooh, that's better. Any thoughts on that passive aggressive? What about even beneath conscious awareness, that you don't even realize what you're doing. And the other person thinks, well, that's malicious. You're doing that maliciously against me. Well, no, you know what? That didn't really cross my mind when I was doing it, so I made this or that decision.
I think it's very common in the Christian community, myself included, who were raised by parents trying to be godly, teaching you to be kind to one another and forgive quickly, and all the good things that we eventually learn, but we kind of learn as a child to just stow it down deeper and not let it out.
Right.
So we become passively angry. I do, anyway. I did for many years. It was just be content, don't deal with it, don't talk about it. Those were not the right lessons, but those were the lessons I was picking up. It's just like, ignore it and hope it goes away.
But it doesn't.
No.
Somebody says there's three kinds of people. There's stuffers, spewers, and leakers.
Oh, God. What was the first one?
Let's keep it in context. A stuffer, what's a stuffer? What do you think?
Inside.
Yeah, that's a passive aggressive. What's a spewer?
That's it out.
You have to say that. That's a big one of mine. You have to say that. Well, I should be free to say what I don't want to say, but I just won't talk. How about that? and a leaker. What do you think a leaker is?
Little by little.
Yeah. Passive
out.
Aggressive. What'd you say?
Just
a little bit. You said something. What did you say? Okay. Also, there's three kinds of people. People that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people go, what happened? Thank you, Dave. I better get that from the subject. Okay. Self-righteous anger. Enjoys the empowering sense of grievance, of getting in touch with honest emotion, and expressing it freely. It feels good to let it out, and it often gets results. Wow. Is that like, what's the word for that?
That was hard for me to understand.
It's kind of being, what's the word I'm looking for when you enjoy the empowering sense of grievance, self-righteous anger. Does that resonate with anybody?
You know what I hear those people say sometimes? I'm just saying what everybody else is too afraid to say.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. There's the dead elephant in the middle of the room. Did anybody see this dead elephant over here? It stinks, it's rotten, it's smelling. Nobody sees it. They just should be something in the way. I can't believe you're gonna play.
With throwing the biblical guilt trip on somebody, fall under this category.
Okay, like what? Give me an example.
You know, people will quote Bible verses. They've got an axe to grind, and they'll start throwing Bible verses at you out of this self-righteousness to just, you know, make you feel guilty. They think that, you know, I'm above you, and it's like, you know, why did you do this? Because this is not, you know, what the Bible says.
Okay.
And all this stuff. And yet, it's just meanness and anger just being coming out into somebody.
Condescending.
Very much.
Yeah. So the Word of God can be, you believe there's one God, you do well, the devils also believe and tremble. You know, the devil can quote Scripture all day long. So we should have a sense of discernment when somebody's giving us Bible. I say a lot of Bible verses, so I hope you're not drinking that.
No.
But yeah, in the right context. And it's kind of like, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and somebody like me teaching this anger management class who has a lot of anger issues, and I'm not going to deny that. I've kind of reached the point, if I've shared with you guys, if you're teaching this for many, many, many years, it's going to take a supernatural gift from God in order to be free of this. It's kind of like leprosy. It's a defined sin that's in me. God can say, be removed, you know. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. And meanwhile, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to
forgive us our sins.
Yeah. And
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I'm still kind of waiting on some of that.
Yeah.
It could take time, but in his way, in his time. And also the Bible says, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as a
thousand years.
Yeah, you're out of those thousand year days.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I thought that was okay. The Lord.
Yeah, really. Okay, now I got a few more minutes here. Each of these six problems matters hugely. Now, see, that's something that's come home to me. These things matter. Our relationships with our wives, our relationships with our children, our relationships with our family, they matter. They matter. They're hugely, hugely important. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. What God is interested in is in our relationships with one another. And one of my favorites, love covers a multitude of sins. Just love it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we have a high priest. What is it, priest, prophet, and king?
Yes.
Who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Here comes these scriptures again. He who has started good work in you will be
faithful to complete it.
There's no temptation taking you but such
as is common to man.
God is faithful, will not allow you to be
tempted.
This is this
turning into a memory class.
Okay, we gotta wrap this up. Okay, but these various anger problems aren't the whole story. What connects them? Do they have anything in common? They can't be the essence of anger. There are some. These are some distorted versions of misdirected expression of something deeper. So that kind of sums up all these different irritability, arguing, bitterness, violence, passive anger. And I'll quit with this. These are some distorted versions, misdirected expressions of something deeper. What's the deeper thing? I think Linda touched on it earlier.
Our sense of right and wrong. Is that what it is?
Yeah, our sin. It's real simple. Sin in our lives. They pervert something intrinsic. What does intrinsic mean?
Within us.
I'm sorry?
Kind of within us.
Okay.
Like warp and woof, it's just ingrained.
To human nature, that can't be remade right. We must bring the deeper definition to light. Only then can we cultivate a new association to anger operating as it should. So bringing a deeper definition to light. Lord, give us shine the light that we can do that. Good and angry is a polar opposite of all forms of bad and angry. And it acts constructively in the presence of wrong. But constructively in the presence of wrong. Then we can also add that other problem we mentioned before. I mentioned this. Absent anger that fails to get aroused when real wrongs are occurring, because it's easier to remain indifferent and detached. So that's kind of like, to me, I call that the sin of omission. Yeah. There's so many issues we can rally behind right now. But I would simplify it and bring it back to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, let's finish this page. The problem that arises are not the essential DNA of anger. You guys know what it means about the DNA of anger? Like the basic building blocks? They are the mutations and corruptions. It is important that we get the DNA straight. Then we can make sense of mutant forms of anger that make up what percent?
99%.
Wow. That is expressed in interpersonal experience. And back to the question I asked at the very start of the class, so what is anger? What common thread runs through every form of anger, whether good or bad? Let's take a minute for that. What's the common thread that runs through every form of anger? For me, selfishness, pride, and self-pity. I'm always sharing that little circle that I go with.
I think maybe you become indignant. You become really mad at someone else because they're not living up to your moral code.
Okay.
What you expect of them. But quite often, that fails to get aroused when real wrongs are occurring because we're not, we're easy on ourselves and hard on others. We'd rather point out other people's sins, shortcomings, the way they have failed, they're not living up to their moral code, but yet I don't necessarily want to look at myself and see that I am culpable of the same things.
That's a really good definition. Anybody else on that? And that's one of my struggles. Is I don't want to look inside of myself and be vulnerable and admit my own problems and shortcomings. They just overwhelm me sometimes.
Yeah.
Like as Jeremiah said, I'm undone. I'm unraveled.
Yeah.
Or is that Isaiah?
I'm a man of unclean lips. I
don't
think that might be Isaiah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Patrick, I think
common thread is seeking our way instead of God's way.
Okay, common thread that runs through every form of anger.
To me, it just all gets down to pride. That we, as fallen sinners, have this thing, pride, about us, and everything else stems from that. It's about me and not about others.
Okay.
And because I think I know better than you, that manifests itself in this self-righteousness.
Exactly. That reminds me of Isaiah 14, I think it is, the five I wills. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above God. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will. And really, it kind of falls under that heading. And how dare us? You know? You guys know Greta Thunberg?
Oh,
yeah.
Environmentalist.
Yeah.
Environmental
yeah.
Wacko.
She gave that little spiel and, how dare you? How dare her, huh? But anyway, we're not supposed to talk about politics. Okay, Lord willing, next time we'll take up, help me remember, at the top of page 39. Okay, Walt, you want to pray us up, please?
Lord God, it is so good to be in your house today. It is so good to sit under the teaching of your word,
yes,
to sing glory to your name, and to search our own hearts, Lord, that how far we are from living a life that you would have us to live. But it's only by your grace and mercy, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us and cover our sins with that precious blood. We thank you for Patrick leading this class. We thank you that it's allowed us to look inside, to see those sins of anger, Lord, and to sometimes we don't think about it. We just react. We just do. But now, Lord, you've opened our eyes, opened our hearts now, that we can look inside and see where we need your Holy Spirit to take over those parts of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And also, this class, and hopefully you guys, we can hear everybody speaking, is a very